Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
The name of the Lord in the life of the Christian, the church, and fulfilled in Jesus. The Issues Etc. book of the month for January is Blessed Be His Name, Revealing the Sacred Names of God. It's written by regular guest Dr. Kevin Golden. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House and request Blessed Be His Name, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month for January, Blessed Be His Name. Well, it's my confirmation verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But how do you do that in 2021 with an ongoing pandemic when your church may be entirely closed, or you're worshiping remotely, or you're doing it under severe restrictions? And you found that maybe staying home from church was a lot easier than going to church, and maybe you've even fallen out of the discipline and habit of doing that. Or those other spiritual disciplines like daily Bible study or devotion have also gone by the wayside. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking with Pastor Heath Curtis about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in 2020. Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois, and he's coordinator for LCMS Stewardship. Heath, welcome back.
Always good to be with you, Todd.
We're going to talk about your 1% solution, but first let's define the problem that this solution addresses. What is it?
Sure. So what I do with LCMS Stewardship, most of the time people are asking me about church finances, but as we know, you know, stewardship is about using everything that God has given us toward God's purposes. And so when I talk about stewardship a lot, I talk about our strong Lutheran doctrine of vocation. What is the calling that God has given me in my family, in my church, in my community? What are the various callings that I have, and how do I live those out? And when it comes to our spiritual life, the calling that we have in the church, my calling as a child of God, some things are really easy to point to. So financial stewardship is really easy to point to. I've got lots of Bible verses about this. The fact that I should worship God, the Bible says a lot about that. The fact that I should pray, that I should be in the Word, all of that is true, and it's easy enough to talk about. But when we really get down to, like when I'm doing one of our workshops, and we get down to when people ask questions about it, one thing they ask is, well, how much? And I'm aware of the danger of minimum expectations soon become maximum results. But especially as the parent of children and now teenagers, I also see that the real need that people have for some kind of direction. And so the question that my 1% solution is trying to address is, how much time should I be spending in the Word, in prayer, in worship on a weekly basis? What's a starting point? How can I give myself, you know, kind of a checkup on this? And the new year is a great time of year to think about my spiritual life, my devotional life, my worship life. What am I putting into it? What should I be putting into it? So this is the collection of questions we're seeking to address.
Before we get into the solution, since you kind of take a big picture view of a lot of these things, how do you explain what I will call kind of the COVID giving phenomenon, in which some congregations, not a small or insignificant number of congregations, have actually seen, in terms of financial stewardship, a boon in 2020 and going into 2021. It goes along with what I just read about the other day, that the savings rate is at some sort of record, 33% during COVID and the pandemic. How do you explain that?
Yeah, funny how I think we can think of any kind of crisis. Think of it as a magnifying glass or a microscope. It enlarges everything. It magnifies everything you put under it. So we put a kind, let's say we put a congregation under the lens, under the magnifying glass of this crisis. And again, the, given this is my explanation of both the anecdotal evidence and the hard data that we have. So two quick hard data points that we found in the Missouri Synod, that right now in the midst of this pandemic, we figure about 1 in 7 of our congregations is probably in real trouble. It has some real questions about viability. These are some numbers that we've seen. But about 1 in 4 of our congregations, about 25%, have seen that increase in giving, a significant increase in giving over this time. What does this tell me? Well, you put a congregation under that magnifying lens of a crisis. And in the congregations where things are clicking on all 8 cylinders, where some of it is just simply, I mean, a lot of it is just simply the Lord's blessing, but where pastor and people get along, where there's not very much conflict, where people know what the mission of the church is, they're focused on the word, and external events are not just terrible, terrible bad. I mean, if 70% of the people in your church are unemployed, your giving's not going to go up. All right, so there's also got to be, I don't want to use the word luck, let's use the word circumstances. The circumstances of the church have to be okay. So evidently, that's true in about 1/4 of our congregations. The external events were okay enough, and the congregation was healthy enough, that this crisis magnified the things that were good in that parish. And people saw, oh no, this could really hit my church hard. Churches shut down in tons of places across the country. And how many of our churches were not prepared? I mean, my two rural congregations were certainly not prepared to do stuff online or in the parking lot. You know, we had to feel our way through that. So through March and April, especially, that crisis hit, it magnified what was going on in the parish, and at healthy congregations where things were going well, where external circumstances made it possible, I think we've seen this increase, this devotion, this focus, this let's come together and build up the church. Unfortunately, in about 1/7 of our congregations, and I think this is largely true, well, the national numbers, I read one story, said maybe 1 in 5 congregations nationally of all denominations, maybe they're in trouble. So I was a little bit heartened that our numbers were not that bad. External circumstances are so bad, or maybe there's conflict, or maybe the congregation's just been on a long, steady decline. The community they're a part of has been emptying out. 100 different difficult situations can occur in congregations. Well, you put that under the magnifying glass, and the crisis intensified the struggle. And so now we see in our denomination, across denominations in America, the crisis has magnified the difficulties in those places.
Then, okay, the nature of our problem is, how do we go about incorporating thoroughly into our lives? I'm coming at it from a life, mm-hmm. and then, because actually it should be the other way around. Speaking humanly, how do we go about incorporating thoroughly all those things that stewardship is, mm-hmm. in terms of our vocation, into our lives, and what kind of actual time,
right,
disciplined time, do we devote to this? Is that a good way of describing it?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, so I have callings in those three big spheres of life: home, church, and society. And how I spend my day, right? I'm only one person, but I've got all these different callings. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I have a job. I'm a pastor. My dad's a meat cutter. Whatever your job is, you've got those things to do. How do I balance all this out? And as we all know, what are the things that are easiest to put off, right? If you don't take out the trash, your wife is going to get mad at you, right? If you don't do the dishes, your husband is probably going to notice that, and the things are not going to go well. If you don't go to work, or if you forget to log in to Zoom on time for whatever your work has become, your boss is going to notice. But if I short my time with the Lord, well, gosh, God didn't send a lightning bolt on me today when I skipped my Bible reading, when I didn't say my prayers. My hair didn't turn green and my teeth fall out when I skipped church for the past 3 weeks. So it's easy to do that. And of course, we know that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We know that Satan, you know, that our enemies are the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh. And all three of those things want us to stay away from God's kingdom. And so that's why I think that having some kind of benchmark, some kind of minimum, and again, the danger is that minimum standards become maximum results, but having some kind of minimum, having some way of thinking about actually what a small investment of my time in the Word of the Lord in a daily devotional life, what a small investment is actually required and what huge payoff there is for such a small amount of time. And so this is where we come to the 1% solution. So this is on our website, lcms.org/stewardship. It's a little flyer, you know, meant to go in a church bulletin or to put on a church Facebook page. And it just lays out, so the front side just kind of lays out, let's think about this as just 1% of your life, right? If you had a dollar, could I borrow a penny? Right? If you had $100, would you let me borrow a dollar? Right? It's not a huge investment. Well, let's look at what 1% of your day looks like. Every day you've been given, you've got 1,440 minutes. Will you invest just 1% of that day in reading the Bible and in prayer? So 14 minutes. Will you give 14 minutes to reading the Bible and being in prayer? And when people do this, when I've challenged people to do it, set a timer for 14 minutes and see if you can't get through the Treasury Daily Prayer or just Portals of Prayer, a devotional of your choice, just one psalm. Well, you know, my family used Pastor Whedon's little Advent devotion book this past Advent. Fabulous. That takes like 4 minutes. And then will you spend the next 10 minutes in prayer? And this is where we get to, as you were saying about, you know, how this has to be disciplined. Time yourself sometime. Are you spending even 10 minutes in prayer? And again, discipline. Boy, if you're busy, you're in a really busy juncture of your life. You got kids at home, or maybe you have an aging parent you have to care for, or just work is crazy or whatever. It's hard to get alone for 10 minutes. As Jesus says, go into your closet and close the door, right? The good King James translation from Matthew 6. Jesus advocates and demonstrates being alone for prayer. Jesus went off by himself to the mountain to pray. Disciples came and found him later. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John to Gethsemane. You guys stay here. I'm going to go over here and pray. Our Lord shows us, and then we see the disciples do this. Peter in Acts chapter 10, right, goes up on the roof of Cornelius's house so he can have some privacy, and they spend time in prayer. I'm saying start with 1% of your day, just 1%, 14 minutes, and see what that time does for you in reading the Bible and being in prayer. It's easy, so easy, for our prayers to become rote and routine, for our prayers to become disassociated from the Scriptures. It's easy to make excuses. Well, I pray when I was driving to work. I'm like Paul says, I'm praying always, praying all the time, praying without ceasing while I'm doing the dishes. Good. But follow that biblical example of getting alone for prayer, spending a good 10 minutes praying to the Lord for the people in your life, for the things in your life, 14 minutes a day. It's only 1% of your day.
Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. We're talking about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in 2021. I want to dwell a little bit on Jesus getting away as an example for us to follow right after this. The name of the Lord in the life of the Christian, the church, and fulfilled in Jesus. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is Blessed Be His Name, Revealing the Sacred Names of God. It's written by regular guest Dr. Kevin Golden. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House and request Blessed Be His Name, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Blessed Be His Name.
Hi, this is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Are you an investor looking to support the bold and loving work of LCMS churches? Is your church or organization ready to do bold and loving work? This year, we have a ripe opportunity to bring Christ to a hurting world. Discover the role you can play in this great work. Call 800-843-5233 or visit lcef.org. That's 800-843-5233, lcef.org.
your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS Worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in 2021 with Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for LCMS Stewardship. Now, Heath is talking about taking 1% of your day, 14 minutes. Here is a fantastic way to fill those 14 minutes with the Word of God. It's "The Word of the Lord Endures Forever," hosted by Pastor Will Whedon. It's a 15-minute daily verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called "The Word of the Lord Endures Forever." Listen at thewordendures.org and on your favorite podcast provider, "The Word of the Lord Endures Forever" with Pastor Will Whedon. So, Heath, I wanted to return to something you mentioned just a moment ago, and that is Jesus getting away. It's a very human thing for Him to do, and often it is at the very early hours of the day, He goes off by Himself to pray, we're told. Is He setting us an example there that we ought to follow?
And think about all the things that Jesus did in this way. Sometimes Jesus just kind of flexes His divine power, right? He heals from afar. And my son was healed, the guy in John chapter 4. When did my son, when did the fever break? Well, about the seventh hour. And he realized that was right when Jesus said his son would be well. Okay, sometimes Jesus does that from afar. But how many other times does He touch the coffin of the widow of Nain's son? In the best example, the time when he shows the deaf man what He's going to do, right? Touches his tongue, puts His fingers in his ears. This is what I'm doing for you. Jesus is constantly, as you pointed out, showing us, demonstrating to us, giving us an example to follow with actions He doesn't need to do. So He doesn't do them for His own sake. Therefore, you can be sure He's doing them for our sake. So when Jesus goes off alone to pray, when He clearly schedules time for Himself to be alone in prayer, that's an example for us, and it needs to be a part of our Christian discipline. It's not optional. Corporate worship, which I'm going to get to in a moment, corporate worship, corporate prayer, family devotions, all very important. But a time for individuals to be alone, to spend their time in their own prayers, reading the scriptures on their own, memorizing the scriptures on their own, really important. And so, to do a very rough segue to now in worship, if you do the same thing, it's funny, if you get 8 hours of sleep, if you do what the doctor says you should do, and few of us do, but if you get that 8 hours of sleep every night, that leaves you 112 waking hours per week. So again, if you spend just 1% of your waking hours going to church, right? I mean, it works out to that. I mean, I don't think it's an accident that this has kind of become the rhythm of the Christian life. I mean, it's interesting. It is. We spend about an hour, a little over an hour, in church. That's about 1% of your waking life. And again, we see the apostles doing this, that even though all the Old Testament commandments are swallowed up in the grace of the New Testament, we still see the church meeting for worship once a week in the book of Acts. They gather on the Lord's Day. They gather on Sunday. They get together. They have time set apart. And that corporate worship, seeing one another, having fellowship with one another, encouraging one another, so important. And boy, have we relearned the importance of that during this pandemic when so many people have been cut off and isolated. You know, this time together is essential. So if you if you are for good reason isolated in your church for good reason is online, man, I would encourage you to seek out a phone call with your pastor, call other people in your congregation, keep in touch with one another. And if you can gather, my congregation, we have both outdoor worship and indoor worship still all through this time. Even those people who, for good reason, can't get out of their cars and join us inside the sanctuary for that portion of the service, just seeing people and waving across the parking lot, rolling down your window and talking to somebody, there's more to worship than just hearing the word and prayer, right? Because you could do that at home. But the being together, hearing other people's voices, joining together as the corporate body of Christ in one place, vital to the Christian life. So those two things, and obviously this is, again, minimum standards. This is the basis, the foundation, something to build on. Will you spend 1% of each day in the word and in prayer, and 1% of each week in corporate worship? There's a really good benchmark for just a really basic Christian life.
I want to explore a little bit in terms of how we face this problem in the future. Because one thing the pandemic has done is it has renewed a lot of people's dedication toward Sunday morning worship, be it online or in person. It has also, and we must admit, simply, as you mentioned before, kind of given people who were more loosely attached to their local congregation a golden ticket pass to not come to church for a whole year. And if they didn't want to come to church and kind of do it out of a sense of obligation, now they say, hey, I'm sorry, pastor, pandemic. And pastors have been kind of maybe equally lazy in searching those people out.
giving
a lot of pastors an excuse to not do their job. Talk about repairing that as our situation improves.
Yeah. So I don't know where this stat comes from. I've tried to track it down. And maybe we'll put the crack issues, et cetera, research team on this. But going back to seminary, and I've heard this repeated several other times, and it certainly rings true with my anecdotal experience. The old canard is, if somebody stops coming to church and they don't come to church for 6 weeks in a row, and you as the pastor, as the evangelism committee, as the board of elders, if you don't reach out to that, to your member who stopped coming to church and they miss 6 Sundays in a row, not because they're sick, not because they're out of town, but just, they're just not coming to church anymore. They miss 6 Sundays in a row, it's over. You lost them. And that kind of rings true. Now, if it's 5 for some people, it's 7 for another. I do think that rings true to my anecdotal experience. And so now, as you've noted, we've had external circumstances and which have varied across the country, right? In some places, oh my word, there's huge pressure for churches to be physically shut. In other places, it's been a little less. Some places, it really hasn't touched very much at all. But especially in those places where there's been a lot of pressure, we've had a lot more than 6 weeks to de-establish old good habits and to re-establish, at the very least, less than ideal habits. I mean, we certainly found when we were doing a lot of stuff online that the engagement you think you're getting online is not such great quality engagement. That I don't know what factor you should probably divide the number of page views you're getting or minutes watching. But it ain't like having people in the same room. That's for sure. And so new habits have been formed. How do we break those old habits? I think you hit on it in the end of your question there. And it's going to take the good, hard, difficult work of one-on-one pastoral care. And this is why pastors have boards of elders, boards of deacons to assist them. Because I think a lot of the people who have been very concerned and very worried about this disease and have therefore stayed away. And you have that in churches where their best option was to do something online. How connected are these people? And this is, with me being an active parish pastor, I am very much, this is a lot of self-condemnation. I've got a lot of stuff. I'm not very happy. I sent an email a few weeks ago to my elders that, you know, I was going to change up some of the things I was doing with our shut-ins. Because, man, after I looked at a few months into this, I evaluated my own performance when it came to staying in touch with and keeping with people. And it was not ideal. It's very easy to get bogged down in the new normal and to let these people fall through the cracks. So we have a lot to do as the church in reestablishing corporate worship and not allowing this situation to disembody the body of Christ.
Well, when we come back, what about congregations together, whole denominations? If we're looking at maybe 1 in 7 reaching a point where they might have to close, people are church hopping and church shopping, how do we face those together as congregations?
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.
What are the particular comforts of Lutheran theology and practice? Find out in my column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Peter Slayton writes about growing up in a Christianity that was more about him and what he was doing, and finding in the Lutheran Confession a Christianity that focused on Jesus. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Here's what Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Alvin Schmidt had to say about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January. Blessed be his name, revealing the sacred names of God. This interesting, readable book, Blessed Be His Name, delivers a panoramic view concerning the holiness of God's name that we Christians sometimes, in different ways, thoughtlessly and sinfully misuse. The book's many cogent points remind us of God's second commandment, which we so easily forget, both before and as we violate it. Christians reading this book will find it insightful and spiritually beneficial. I can back that up 100%. Having read this book by Dr. Kevin Golden, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, called Blessed Be His Name. If you'd like to read it yourself, well, call Concordia Publishing House and order it, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for Blessed Be His Name. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. We're talking about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in 2021. Heath, I want to talk about that 1 in every 7 congregations you mentioned a while back. As we come out of the pandemic, those congregations are at real risk of maybe even closing, and they may not have been healthy to begin with. So we're looking at church closures. I know people have been church shopping because they're kind of looking for the level of restrictions that they're comfortable with. They're hopping around churches. How do we face all of that together as congregations?
Well, the first thing is pastors need to have a sense of camaraderie and a sense of, you know, we're in this together. We're brothers in the ministry. And this was demonstrated to me very early in my ministry by older clergymen, and I'm really glad I had that experience with him a couple different times. There'd be guys that maybe we didn't see eye to eye on X, Y, and Z, but then they demonstrated to me when one of these. So here's the classic situation, and the classic kind of brotherly camaraderie that preachers ought to have for one another. And I'm speaking, of course, within your own denomination. You should know the guys you serve with. You should be going to your Winkle meetings. You should, you know, facilitate those relationships. And when somebody else's member shows up at your place you know, and you're shaking hands. Well, in the old days, you're shaking hands. In the new days, you're waving at them from 6 feet distance. So I'm Joe Schmo. Hi, I'm Pastor Schickelgruber. I don't know that we've met before. Oh, yeah, I go to Wrath of God Lutheran Church down on Main Street. You're like, oh, great, great, you know, great to see you. Why are you here? Oh, you know, you guys had a masked service, so I came here. Or you guys had a service with no masks, so I came here. Or you guys had a drive-in service and we don't, so I came here. Or et cetera, right? So use that example of kind of church shopping. Everybody's looking for their preferred restriction level. It's incumbent upon you as the pastor who has received that visitor to give your brother or pastor a call and just say, hey, the Joe Schmo family was here this Sunday, said he was looking for a mass service. Heads up, bro. A, I'm not looking to steal your sheep. B, it sends the message. And if my members end up at your place, give me a heads up. And it's really a golden rule kind of thing. And so I think that's the first thing. And then that whole process plays out on a bigger scale when you do have a local congregation in your area head toward closure. There should be a process where, in many times, those places are vacant for some time before they close. So that's where you need district support, circuit visitor, district president to help facilitate, you know, people to find churches that are closer to them. And but that begins with that week in and week out. I want to help you be the shepherd to your sheep. Of course, I've had transfers out. I've had transfers in. I've been in one place for 15 years. That stuff happens. But thanks be to God, in the area where I serve, that's never been acrimonious. We've got a bunch of pastors who work well together, and I'm very blessed in that regard.
Finally, then, Jesus says, he doesn't just say seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He says seek it first.
Yes.
And then all these things will be added to you. Finally, here, talk about that first, making this first and not an afterthought.
And this is why, you know, New Year's time is a great time to think about this. It's time to reevaluate your life, make a resolution. You've got to find a way to put this first in your life. And it's not necessarily going to mean you do it at 5:55 when your alarm goes off in the morning. If you're the kind of person who gets no functionality out of your body until the shower and the cup of coffee and the shave and you've sat down and so forth. But it's got to be at a time of day when you can't miss it, or when it's easiest to do, when it's most difficult to put it away. So, for example, every day when I've been working from the home office now, I read the mail at lunch. Because that makes sense. My mail is there by lunch. I want something to do while I'm eating lunch. And so there's an example in my life of something secular. That's when I do it. And once I'm in that habit, that's when I do it. The bills are all sorted. I'm ready to go. Okay, so for me personally, the time when I set aside to do my scripture reading is first thing in the morning. I do my prayers at another time in my day, and that really does for me change based on the day of the week because of how my weird pastor's schedule is. But find the time. Find those 14 minutes every day. Write it down. And seriously, keep a stopwatch on it until you get the rhythm and the hang of it, and see if the Lord doesn't bless it, because there's a promise in that verse. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. The Lord really does mean to bless our faithfulness in this regard. And that's not, you know, TV preacher, name it and claim it kind of stuff. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The Lord can bless you in many different ways, but he promises a blessing to those who seek first his kingdom, set aside time to pray, to worship, to gather. The Lord will bless it.
Pastor Curtis, you're going to be speaking at a virtual conference next week, Making Disciples for Life, Our New Normal. Tell us about this virtual conference for lay leaders and church workers.
So as we've just been talking about, whether we like it or not, we're turning the corner on a full year of this new normal. And right before all this came crashing down in January of 2020, the Office of National Mission, which is the 17 big programmatic ministries, the Missouri Synod that do work here amongst our own congregations, which I'm part of in stewardship, we did a big national conference, Making Disciples for Life. We kind of rolled it out. We were supposed to have the next one in April. Life has now intervened. Well, in October, we did a test online conference, and I'm very, very excited that we're now rolling out open to anybody in the country who wants to join us, or I suppose around the world. It's all online. Join us, lcms-mdfl.org. So lcms-makingdisciplesforlife.org. You can sign up. It's free. There are live sessions every evening, January 11th to 14th. But you can, they'll all be recorded anytime during the day. You can log in and get the recordings. Some stuff is pre-recorded. Some stuff is live. There's live interaction if you want to ask questions. For example, on next Tuesday night, my live tabletop session is going to be with congregational leaders, again, lay and clergy, who want to learn about congregational resiliency via stewardship. But I mean, there's stuff from LCMS schools, urban and inner city ministry, stewardship, youth, evangelism, keynotes from President of the Synod, for Director of Office of National Mission. So tons of stuff. You should check it out. It's this is what your synod does for you. These are all the resources we do. We're ready to help pastors and congregations navigate all this. We've all been living through it in our own congregations, those of us who serve in the parishes, those of us who assist in parishes, those of us who work full-time for the synod but go to church somewhere. We've all been living it. And as people in the Office of National Mission, we're the people that have been hearing the most and learning the most from everywhere else around the country. So I really believe this is an opportunity for us to pool our wisdom and our knowledge and to share what's working, what's not working. It's going to be a great conference. And again, the bugs have all been knocked out. This is not experimental at this point. The October conference was a big hit. We did that in partnership with the Minnesota South Pastors Conference. And now we're really ready to do this. So next week, January 11 to 14, register for free. I'm sure you guys will have a link. But again, it's lcms-mdfl.org.
Learn more about a virtual gathering January 11th through the 14th called Making Disciples for Life, Our New Normal, at our website, issuesetc.org. Pastor Heath Curtis is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois. He's coordinator for LCMS Stewardship. Heath, thank you very much.
Always good to be here, Todd. Thank you.
We will go through the top 10 biblical archaeology discoveries of 2020 with Dr. Craig Evans, author of Jesus and His World, The Archaeological Evidence, next. The name of the Lord in the life of the Christian, the church, and fulfilled in Jesus. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is Blessed Be His Name, Revealing the Sacred Names of God. It's written by regular guest Dr. Kevin Golden. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House and request Blessed Be His Name, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Blessed Be His Name.
Would you like to spend more time in God's Word this new year? Does your tight schedule prevent you from sitting down with your Bible? Do you sometimes find the Bible confusing? Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, a daily 15-minute, verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. You can listen anytime, anywhere, on your commute, at the gym, or while doing housework. Learn more at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider. The Word of the Lord endures forever.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.